You are now listening to the CRC podcast, brought to you by Pastor At Bosif. We trust that this message will change your life forever.
My message this morning, a waste or worship? What is a waste to the world is worship to God. A waste or worship? W-A-S-T-E, not W-A-I-S-T-E, which some of us have to work on in gym. Luke chapter 7, verse 36, the Bible says, one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him, weeping. And she began to, stand first please, and she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head, and she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. And when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, if this man, if he were truly a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she's a sinner. Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, teacher, say on. Said there was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. And when they had nothing of which, with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and he said, I suppose. So religious people talk in their tone, right? They don't really care about the sinner and the broken. All they care about is their opinion. So I suppose the one if you gave more. How many of you have been forgiven your sins and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Come on, that's a reason to give the Lord a praise offering right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And Jesus said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to her, do you see this woman? Hello. I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she washed my feet. Picture this. In a house filled with onlookers, there's one woman that worships. Oftentimes people gather and they are spectators. And God is moved by the one who is the true worshiper, the one who makes his or her way to the presence of Jesus. I'm going to tell you that Jesus is here today because the Bible says where two or three are gathered together, I'm there in the midst of them. He's here. You can make your way to Jesus. No matter what your brokenness, no matter what your situation. It says, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss. But this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. I'm not suggesting we kiss anybody's feet. But he's talking about worship because a kiss is something that should come from the heart. Amen. That you love God back when you come to church. That the highest form of intimacy between you and Jesus Christ is the kisses you give him. The kisses of your worship. The kisses of your adoration. The kisses of your praise. The kisses of thanksgiving. That you would come into his presence and you would love on Jesus like this woman did. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. That's why I said, and I'll harp on this Wits survey, radical secular university. And I'll say this because many educators have no respect for God. Many politicians have no respect for God, but I want to tell you this morning that no politician has paved the way for you and I to go to heaven. No educator has paved the way for you and I to go to heaven. There is one name under heaven, given among whereby we must be saved, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. That's why we will not be silenced. That's why we will not relent. We will not stop worshiping our God, because he is the lover of my soul. Oh, shout amen, somebody in this place, in Jesus' name. So the message this morning, a waste or worship. The text in Luke 7 verse 38 and or 37 and 38 from the Passion Translation. And now you can act this. Thank you. The neighborhood there was an immoral woman of the street. She's known as a prostitute. It's amazing how people look down their nose at people, and especially church people. Not in CRC. We realize everybody is welcome. In spite of your background, your culture, your skin color, your brokenness, in spite of your mishaps, when you come into the presence of God, the ground is level. You come based not on your righteousness, but you come based on what Jesus has done 2,000 years ago. So this is a prostitute. I want you to picture, see what is happening here. The room is full of Pharisees, self-righteous, religious rulers, and they all are just, okay, let's hear what he's about to say. And here comes a woman, a prostitute, a notable, a woman with a reputation, and she humbles herself and she gets into the room. Somehow she gets herself into the room in spite of the lockdown. Nobody was going to keep her out. She wasn't invited. She was hungry. She was desperate. She was looking for Jesus Christ. She heard about Jesus, so she crashed the party and she came to Jesus because she needed a touch from heaven. Am I talking to somebody today in Bloemfontein? You need a touch from heaven. You need God to revive you. You need God to heal your brokenness. You need God to do something in your life. If that's you today, shout amen and give him a praise in Jesus' name. So she's a known prostitute, and when she heard that Jesus was in Simeon's house, she took an exquisite flask made from alabaster, filled it with the most expensive perfume, went right into the home of the Jewish religious leader, and in front of all the guests, she knelt at the feet of Jesus Christ. Broken and weeping, she covered his feet with her tears that fell from her face. And she kept crying and drying his feet with her long hair. Over and over she kissed Jesus' feet. Imagine this. Why is he allowing this? Because he's allowing her to worship him. Now we don't do this to pastors or apostles or bishops, whatever your title is today. But this is an act of worship. We're as broken as she is. She comes to worship. Sometimes your highest form of worship is in the state of your brokenness, is in the state of your loneliness, is in the state of your depression, is in the state where you want to quit. That is when you give God your highest worship, when everything like you feels like running away, that you still make up your mind and you say, I'm going to worship him. And you pour your praise and your worship upon him. Over and over, she kissed the feet of Jesus. As an act of worship, she opened her flask and anointed his feet with her costly perfume. You know this alabaster box before you throw it? Represents you. You are the container. But that which you carry means nothing until it is broken. Oh, some of us have been broken in this COVID. Some of us have been messed up in this COVID. Some of us has been messed up by life, and we think God has forsaken us. Job was messed up. Job was broken. In a day, he lost everything. He lost his wife, his children. He lost his family. He lost everything. And his wife stood with a smirk on her face and she said, why don't you curse God and die? But Job did not. What did Job do? He turned his pain into worship. He turned his worry into worship. He rose from the ground and he worshiped God. Listen, I don't know where you are today, but you have to make up your mind to let go. You have to make up your mind to pour out whatever is in your container. You have to make up your mind to get that jaw broken and to get yourself back in the presence of God. Because when that which is in you touches Jesus, then the very fragrance of heaven and the very perfume of heaven and the lily of the valley and the fragrance of the rose of Sharon is going to enter your life and is going to enter your room. And it was in this place that this woman was whole. It is in this place that this woman found her security and her peace. Imagine, she's a prostitute, she's broken, she's filled with sin, but she hears about Jesus and she brings the thing that is most costly, which is your heart, which is your life, might be your pain, your hurt, your treasure, whatever it is. And while the people look on and call what she's doing a waste, it's her worship. Bible scholars will tell you that this jar of expensive perfume could have been her pension. It represented her livelihood. It was equal to a year's salary that she brought to Jesus. You know, our worship will cost us something. Our worship is going to cost us our devotion. It's going to cost us our time. It's going to cost us our talent. It's going to cost us our treasure. While we hold on to our lives and while we turn consecration into convenience or we turn sacrifice into self-preservation, we are not pouring our worship unto God. This is the hour before the greatest revival that God is looking for, a church and for people that will pour out their worship on God, people that will gather, people that say, I will not be dictated to. Come Sunday, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm going to give back to God because He loved me. I'm going to love Him back. Oh, is there a worshiper in this house ready to break your container? Break your container of mediocrity. Break your container of apathy. Break your container of whatever it is, your hurt, your pain, your loss, your tragedy. Until we don't pour out, His fragrance will never come. And it's in that place of worship that we pour out our lives. And sometimes it's our hurt. Sometimes it's like Paul, who says, I don't understand, yet will I worship. I don't feel like it, God, but I have not forgotten that You are my life. You are what I've been searching for. You are the fragrance of my life. One thing this lockdown has done, it's robbed us from worshiping God. It's turned our worship into worship light, L-I-T-E. That even a judge in Scotland found, a secular judge, that you cannot replace online worship with live worship. Hello? It's not rocket science. We were created to worship God together. We were created by God and we were created for God. We were created to gather together. We were created to worship God. We were created to put God first on the first day of the week. And that is something Satan is trying to steal from heaven. Why? Because when we worship Him, heaven's climate comes to earth. When we come in a state of brokenness, and we bring our jar, and whatever is in that jar, our pride, our fear, our uncertainties, our insecurities, our bitterness, our unforgiveness, whenever we take that and we pour it on Jesus, that jar, that which represents who I am, because at His feet I have to lose myself. I have to humble myself. I have to lower myself. I have to acknowledge Him as my Redeemer, as my Lord, as my Savior. I cannot stay pious in the presence of God. I have to come and become that empty vessel. I love that. I'm going to get shoes like that. Should have put to the other shoe as well. I like it. I'm not going to move now at all. I should have put glue on my shoes. Hey. We can do a new fashion here. You want to put some on my head as well? No. He said, the glory of God's in the church. Look at the gold. Look at the gold. Look at the gold. No, no, that's just gold glitter. Okay, that's not the glory of God. That's an illustration. I mean, there was a time when people, there was gold glitter. Everybody said the glory of God. I'm not going to move now, you see. I'm saying to you this morning, you have to make your way to Jesus. You have to make your way back in the presence of God. I know you never determined this lockdown, but this lockdown has created many, many, many bad patterns in the lives of Christians. This lockdown has stolen the fire from many people's hearts. This lockdown has caused many to become cold and lukewarm in their love for Jesus Christ, and now they sit in their philosophy, the apathy, and they justify a new form of Christianity. You will not find anywhere in the Bible where God moves in isolation. Every time God touches people in isolation, God calls that person to go gather leaders, to go gather the church, and to go gather people. Read your Bible. Isolation is not the new way. Isolation is not God's way. Isolation is Satan's way, stealing the worship from God. Can I have this church today there in Bloemfontein and Johannesburg? Give the Lord the greatest praise offering that you can for 10 seconds this morning in Jesus' name. Come on. Hallelujah. So this woman, an immoral woman, comes to Jesus and she worships him, listen, unapologetically. She worships him extravagantly. She worships him unashamedly. She worships him with everything, with her best, with her treasure, with her pain, her hurt. I mean, she came as she was. She's a prostitute. She has a reputation. And that's what I love about Jesus. He's so different from religion that wants format and that imposes rules and laws and regulations that you have to get yourself right for God. God says, no, I made you right 2,000 years ago. I shed my blood for you. I made a way for you in the Holy of Holies. You come as you are. I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to condemn you. I'm not going to remind you of your yesterday. I'm going to lift you. And no matter how unclean you are, Simon, when the unclean touches the unclean will become clean. When the unrighteous touches the unrighteous will become righteous. When the dead touches he who is alive, the dead will come alive again. You just have to get yourself back in the presence of God. Get off your couch. Get off your lazy couch, potato mindset, and get yourself back into a house of worship, and you are going to see the fire of God will be restored, the presence of God will be restored, your life will be restored, God will put fresh wind in your sails as you come in whatever state you are. Come with your suicidal thoughts, come with your depression, come with your fear. But just come. Become sick and tired of being sick and tired. I know Facebook blocked me for a month because I'm too outspoken. They took off all our material. And I told you that the time will come with even new laws in South Africa where they will regulate what we say from our platforms. And here's the reality. That television channels and social media giants will determine. That's when our buildings are going to become more important. Those who criticized us for buildings, that will be the only place where the right of admission will be reserved and where we will be able to say what we want to say and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and worship God unapologetically. Shout amen, because that's the truth. I know Donald Trump is not maybe the greatest individual when it comes to certain things, but to throw a man like that off social media is just a clear indication of what is about to follow. The most powerful person in one day, nothing the next day. Are we so asleep that we cannot even discern the hour? See, I'm standing still because of my shoes. I'm a walking preacher, amen. You've done your job was too great here. So she's a worshiper. Broken yet she worships. Lost yet she worships. Condemned yet she worships. Everybody else has their act together, but they don't worship. I mean, those people, like I started saying just now about the VIT survey, that is so willing to give up their right to worship. Do you even remember what Jesus did for you? That the path we now pursue is the path of least resistance. Well, the early church risked everything to worship together. When Peter came out of prison, a prison of isolation, and God delivered him, what did he do? He did not run away and hide. He ran to the gathering where the saints were gathered together. That's why Peter went, because he knew that's where I breathe. I breathe with other believers. I worship God together with other believers. Oh, come on. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say, I am redeemed and I am a worshiper. No more, no more will I sit down and shut up. She worshipped him as an outcast. And her act of breaking her jaw, her brokenness, listen, just like the woman at the well of Samaria, released the fragrance of Jesus into the room for everybody else to smell. You know, when you were a worshiper, when Jesus touches you, His fragrance upon your life becomes visible to your family and to your friends. And then they no longer want to hear a theory. They can see that something is different. There's a different smell about you. There's something different. And there is. It's His fragrance. It's His aroma. It's His presence. Her worship, seen as a waste, by God is received as an act of love and an act of worship. Another lady, Mary, the sister of Martha, just before the burial of Jesus Christ, she's also a lady. You know, there's something special about women when they are touched. I think if women got hold of the finances in the homes, God's kingdom would really accelerate. Amen. Because women are givers. I mean, I think if men had to fall pregnant, there wouldn't be many babies. Because men by nature are stingy. Women were born to give. And it's amazing in the Bible, you see, when Jesus hangs on the cross, it was the woman that was there. Nicodemus and John the Beloved. The rest of the groot monde ran away. And when Jesus rose from the grave, the people that went to the grave were the women. It's amazing how women, when they are sold out to God, how they are more radical than most men. How they are unapologetic. That's why in South Africa, what we need are some women in politics that God will raise up. We need a lady president who will love this country and who will be incorruptible and lead reformation and healing in South Africa. Because when women love, they love completely. They love totally. They love devoutly. They love unashamedly. You don't buy them today and tomorrow they forget. That woman at the well of Samaria changed the entire village. She had an encounter with Jesus. We have to listen. Ask ourselves, what is Jesus worth to us? Because His worship will determine our level of worship. Who is this Jesus and what is He worth? Because worship really equals worth-ship. What is He worth? Come payday, we struggle to honor Him with our tithe, with our first fruit. People look at us and they say it's a waste of time to go to church. It's a waste of time to clap your hands and to shout hallelujah. And we read the Bible and we say in heaven throughout eternity, that's what people do. They rest not day and night, but worship Him who sits on the throne. Our time, we redeem our time by putting Him first. First part of the day. First day of the week, which is a Sunday, as the early church did. They gathered together on a Sunday. They put God first. He wasn't their leftover. He wasn't their last part. He was their first. What is Jesus worth to us? That man who found the pearl of great price, he didn't just buy the pearl, he bought the whole field. He bought everything. He didn't just love a little bit. That's what Jesus says in this story. He says, to whom much is forgiven, much love. We've all been forgiven much. We were all born in sin. They were not small sinners and great sinners. The challenge us Some people forget that they were sinners and they deserved eternal judgment. And God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten son. And the greatest act of love was what Jesus did on the cross when he put his worship on humanity and he paid the price for you and me. And now it's our turn to put our worship on him and to say, thou art worthy, for thou hast redeemed us. You have delivered us. You have redeemed us. You are worthy, Lamb of God, that was slain from the foundation of the earth. We will not forget that we were delivered from Egypt, that we may serve you and we may worship you. So what people call a waste for us is worship. Can you say amen this morning? This Mary, it's interesting people's opinions. I don't even read social media anymore. When she gave a great offering similar to this woman, and she anointed Jesus for his burial, we know that, and people criticized her and said it's a waste of money. That money should have been given to the poor. Not that they cared about the poor. That's why when people say something, I always say, what are you doing? You don't really care about the poor. You're just having a stinking opinion. So Judas, the treasurer, one of those disciples, these two passages, we look at the other one tonight. John chapter 12, verse 46, the Bible says, one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? This he said, scripture up please, John chapter 12, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box. And he used to take what was put in. You know, when you judge people, you actually show what's in your heart. You understand that? When you judge people, you show the weakness of your own heart. That's why Jesus said, when you judge, you condemn yourself. That means you expose what is your true weakness when you judge others. So when somebody else jumps up in church and shouts hallelujah, and you're sitting there Miss Conservative, that's her sacrifice. I know you may not be used to it, but I don't know what you're going to do in heaven, because you're going to be in shell shock, because there's only one half an hour of silence in heaven so that the conservative Christians can acclimatize. But for the rest of us, we are going to praise the Lord Jesus Christ 24/7. Not that there is time, day and night. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Shabba, shabba, shabba. That is the climate. Oh, come on, church. I'm doing my best. You better do your part and give the Lord a bit of a praise. Satan has stolen praise long enough. Satan has stolen our worship long enough. Let the praises of God resound from the earth and go back into the heavenlies and go back to our God. And let the prayers of the saints that people say is a waste of time go before the throne of God as an incense burning. And God is listening to those prayers and God sees those sacrifices. And in a moment, God is going to pour deliverance and the fragrance of Christ is going to turn your mourning into dancing and your sackcloth into ash, into something beautiful. God is going to intervene if you believe it. Say a good amen in the name of Jesus. So for many people who look at Christians, people who say that you can just sit in your home and watch a TV, and I don't mean to offend you, I do mean to get you back and wake you up. Because you didn't get saved in front of your TV. And you didn't get discipled in front of your TV. So what people call a waste is our worship, our time. What you've done this morning, getting yourself in the presence of God, dealing with those children, getting them out of bed, fighting on the way to church. Hello? I was there as well. Then I decided once my wife and I will drive with two cars. Don't do that. We don't have enough parking space when the church is open. Enjoy the space now, because the time is going to come. We're going to have to really come early. I'm just telling you, that's a fact. Okay. So your talent. These people that stand on this platform, many of them are professional. We've got lawyers on the platform, doctors on the platform. We've got some full-time people, but many of these others have great jobs secularly. They give their time. The over 500 volunteers just in our children's church here in Pretoria. The hundreds and hundreds of ushers and hostesses, many of them, that's not a waste. Stewarding your gift, going and feeding the poor, that's not a waste. Taking care of the orphans and the widows, getting women out of human trafficking, Christian services, that's not a waste. Every Christian should be involved to reach people for Jesus Christ. And then finally, your treasure, your money. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, the Bible says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. Not the leftovers. The first fruit. The 10%. Can't let the lockdown determine the level of your giving. Amen. I get quiet now. God didn't send his lost. God didn't ask Abraham to sacrifice one of his servants. Nowhere in the Bible does God ask you anything that will not cost you everything. As a matter of fact, even when God calls you to follow him, Jesus Christ, he says you have to lose your life to follow me. Because I've lost my life for you. That's not an act of religion. That's an act of surrender. Beautiful exchange, yielding to the love of God like this woman did. Just coming as you are. God loves you. He cares about you. 2,000 years ago, he sent his son for you. But you know, this Jesus thing, we can't do it half-heartedly. Cannot. Like, you can't be married half-heartedly. You can't work half-heartedly. You can't play rugby half-heartedly, soccer half-heartedly. You can't do anything half-heartedly. How do we think we can do the Christian thing, which is the most important aspect of our lives, half-heartedly? What? The thing that has the greatest worth in your life will demand your time, your talent, your treasure. Take a guy that plays golf. He falls in love with golf. He gives time. He gives talent. He gives treasure. Money to buy the latest golf set. Every time he plays a round of golf, he pays. What is he worth? Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one moving. I want to tell you that Jesus loves you. And all you have to do is you have to come to him. You have to come as you are. There's a heaven to gain, there's a hell to shun. And all that lady did is she came to Jesus. The rest was history. You didn't have to clean up your act. You come as you are. Sitting here this morning in all our churches on television, you say, Pastor, I need a fresh start with God. I want to come home to Jesus. I want to get things right with God. If that's your desire, quietly, wherever you are, just slip your hand up. Slip it up now. Now. Slip it up now. Just where you are. Raise it. Raise it. Raise it. Raise it. Many of you. Just say this today. Say, Jesus, I give my heart to you. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I believe you died for my sin. I believe you rose from the grave. Today, I surrender my all to you. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. It seems like I've been in glory. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I want to tell you that God loves you. We're going to stand a moment and we're going to worship him. Forget about your children. I know many of you have brought your children. And the reality, we're opening our children's church again on the 9th of May, which is going to be fantastic. And we do everything safe. It's the safest place you will find in Pretoria, the way we sanitize, put things through the ventilation system, everything we do. We don't risk with people's health. But neither are we going to compromise our worship before God. It's not happening. It's not happening. It's not happening. It's not happening. We were created by God and for God to worship him. A moment in his presence and everything changes. You know, the wonderful thing about God is he knows each one of you personally. There may be a few people here today, but God looks at you. It was her worship that moved him. Any one of the other people could have worshipped, but they did not. They were just neutral. They were onlookers. You know, this week as I was meditating, all those beautiful people in Johannesburg, hey, wave at me. I'm going to see you soon. Amen. I'm going to see great revival in Johannesburg. I'm looking at the screen now, okay? They're sitting there, and Bloemfontein is sitting over there. We're going to see great revival. God spoke to me about Johannesburg. We're going to see tremendous revival in Johannesburg. Tremendous, tremendous, tremendous revival in Johannesburg. Tremendous. You better get ready. Tell your friends, tell your family, those who are hungry, those who are hungry, because God is attracted to our hunger. He's attracted to our hunger.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information on CRC, visit www.crc.org.za.